Great, that wasn't it? Yeah, are you encouraged? I am. That was amazing. Okay, if you could open your Bible, please, at Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to look briefly at these concluding verses of the Sermon on the Mount. So, I wonder if you could tell me, have a guess, what you think this picture is. Anyone have a guess? It might be. Any other guesses? A cheese grater.
A metal wall.
Any other guesses? Iron. An iron. Jay?
A back scratcher.
Amazing. Any others?
Bacteria.
Okay, they're all great answers. It is, in fact, this electron micrograph of the surface of an audio CD. Ooh, so very good. See me for a prize later. Okay, anyone know what this is? This is easier. This is easier, I think. Anyone? It's not the Matrix, by the way. Okay, and Jamie, it's not any other kind of scratcher. Any guesses what that is? It's quite easy, I think. Hang on. Coding, almost. We need the way. Binary code, anyone? So it's great, you're doing all the work. What's binary code? Okay, so in binary, you can only have a naught or a one. Everything else is made up of naught or one. It's a naught or a one. That's all you get. So, I'm a bit of a binary thinker. It's simple. It's like yes or no. Liverpool, Everton. There's not really any choice there, is there? Okay, so it's just like, yeah, this or this. In, out. Left, right. Black, white. Up, down. Blind, seeing. Heaven, hell. Lost, saved. We get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus concludes his teaching to the group of people who've been listening to him. Now, if you read the Sermon on the Mount through, it takes about 8 minutes at reasonable speed to read it. Okay, so it's not a very long talk, is it? But have a guess how many talks we've had on it here in this series. If you know, then you know. Okay, it's just one of those things. But have a guess. Anyone have a guess? Go on. One guess. Someone else. How many?
16.
17. Okay, so great effort. This will be the 18th talk we've had on an 8-minute talk by Jesus. And he gets to the end and he kind of sums it all up and he pulls it all together. So, you know, when you do science write-ups, you love them, don't you? Can you remember them at your school? You did your aim. Remember this? Prediction. Method. Do you remember all this? Results. And then right at the end, what do you get?
Conclusion.
What you have found out. So Jesus concludes his sermon with a very simple picture. You are either wise or you are foolish. You are one or the other. It's a binary choice. There's no other options. And our talks, the 17 talks, we had 18 tonight, have been entitled Life as It's Meant to Be Lived, and we've been challenged, hopefully convicted, and maybe some of us have been changed in our behaviour. But maybe we haven't. And maybe tonight, it's decision time. Maybe tonight, God is going to say, this way or this way to you. And he's going to present you with that simple choice. So look down with me at verse 24, if you don't mind. Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Which are you? Which am I? Am I wise? Am I foolish? We can see two people, two buildings, two foundations, two storms, and two very different outcomes. It's interesting, isn't it, that both the wise and the foolish hear what Jesus says. They both hear his words. But only one of them acts upon them. Only one of them takes them and does something with them. See, it's very easy, isn't it, to hear the words of Jesus, but them to have no impact on us. I can remember years ago, I hope he doesn't mind me saying, but Bill used to say, living in a garage doesn't make you a car. And it's true, isn't it? Coming to church, hearing what Jesus says, does not make you a disciple. It does not make you a follower. Just believing or hearing or knowing what Jesus says is not enough. A.T. Robertson said, hearing sermons is a dangerous business, especially if you don't put them into practice. See, Christianity is just much more than knowing about someone or knowing some information or knowing some stuff that someone said some time ago. It's actually hearing what that says. It's responding to that challenge, and it's a changed life that goes with it. Anything else is not good enough. And Matthew closes this section of the gospel, as we do today, with these words, Jesus finished these words. If you look down at verse 28, and when Jesus finished these sayings, and he does that elsewhere in the Gospel of Matthew, he makes that statement at an underline and a move on. So I want us to think about, why should we listen to what Jesus says? Why should we take note of what he says? Well, the answer is, isn't it, is down there in verse 29. For he was teaching them as one who had authority. See, Jesus isn't just a philosopher, is he? He's not just a teacher or a speaker or a leader. He is God in the flesh. And what he has to say is of eternal importance. It's not for you or I to trifle with or to decide whether we'll, what we'll do with it. What he says is of eternal importance. If someone could just, this is a bit risky, someone find John chapter 7 and verse 48 and shout that out for us, that would be great. John chapter 7 verse 48. Just read that again, please, sorry.
Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed in him?
Have they believed in him? Have the rulers, the Pharisees, the religious ones, have they believed in him? They've heard what he said, but have they believed in him? Has it affected him? Someone read out Luke chapter 10. I'll do this one, sorry. Luke chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus says, In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. So that means when Jesus says, are you wise or foolish, you better listen. You better take note, because it's of eternal importance. I want us to think, as I've been challenged by reading this, does my belief affect my behavior? Because belief without changed behavior is emptied of its importance, isn't it? It's just nothing. It's just belief. It doesn't really mean anything. If we believe in Jesus but don't follow him, don't do what he says, don't listen to his voice, don't follow his teachings, don't have a changed life because of him, then our belief loses its meaning. Our lack of following what Jesus says reveals, actually, our lack of belief in what he says. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is not to hear and listen only, but to surrender your life to his will and to surrender your life to his lordship and to following after him. Is that you? Is that me? Is my life surrendered to him? Is it given over to his authority? Is it given over to his will? Is yours? Because according to Jesus, that is true wisdom. He who hears these words and does them, or he who hears these words and doesn't do them. You are either a doer or you are a do-notter. Which are you and which am I? And that has a massive effect on those around us and what they think of us. I read this quote recently from Brennan Manning. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out of the church door and deny him with their lifestyle. That is what the unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. It shouldn't be the case, should it? Jesus says, if you hear these words and do them, you are wise. But if you hear these 17 talks on the Sermon on the Mount and the lessons therein and do not do them, I'm not saying this, Jesus says, you are foolish. What are you building your life on? Is it ready to stand? Is it ready to face the storms and the final storm, the final reckoning, where we will answer for what we've done with what we've heard of Jesus? Will your life, will my life, will it stand? Or will it fall? Look at the end of verse 27. And great was the fall of it. Life as it's meant to be lived. It's time for me, it's time for you, it's time for us all to make a decision. Jesus says, go and do what I say. Don't be foolish, don't hear and don't do. How tragic to know that what is of eternal importance you treat and I treat trivially. We said lots of times at camp, what we talk about, what we sing about, is of eternal value. It's not for now, it's of eternal value. Jesus says, listen to me and be wise for eternal value. Ignore me and don't do and be foolish. We sang a song at camp, and we're going to sing it in a couple of minutes. And the chorus-y bit of it is, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I can remember someone saying years and years ago, be a decided disciple. A decided disciple. I wonder today, this evening, right now, whether you will decide to live your life for Jesus. Whether you will decide to hear what Jesus says, respond to it and surrender your life to him? Or will you decide to hear what Jesus says and to leave it? Jesus himself says, that's foolish. It's a very simple choice. It's binary. I love binary things. They're dead simple. It's yes or no. It's follow Jesus or don't. There's no middle ground. What's it going to be for you? What's it going to be for me? Wouldn't it be amazing if this group of people went from this building as decided disciples of Jesus Christ? I don't know how many people are here. 200? If 200 people, if we are all connected to 10 other people, what's 200 times 10? 2,000. So, if we're connected to much more than 10 people, though, aren't we? But if we were just connected to 10 people, there's 2,000 people we could impact with the gospel, with the power of our changed life through the work of Jesus within us. If we were connected to 100 people, it's 200,000 people. This room could impact with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what he calls us to do. Be decided disciples. So can I challenge you firmly but gently? Have you decided to follow him? Have you surrendered to him? Have you said, it's not about what I hear, it's about what I go and do. Help me, Lord, to live for you. Because it's not about the nice feelings, is it? They're great, and singing together and being in here is amazing, is it not? The singing was amazing, was it not? Brilliant. But when we go out there, we've got a real battle to get in. And we've got to put the armour on, and we've got to get in that battle every day. And do you know what? We have to get up and decide to do it, and decide to be in the battle, and to follow Jesus decidedly. Sometimes it's rough, sometimes it won't feel like it, sometimes everything else will crowd in, but I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Please decide to follow him and live for him this brief life right now. We're going to stand and sing that song together.